been officially cancelled, monsieur, by the current administration in all inner-city boroughs. The rampant crime and extreme violence upswell in our city of recent months has given the feeling that a permanent state of Halloween already exists, and the general public is scared enough as it is.
Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Alex. My name is Dr. Branham. I'm Dr. Brodsky's assistant.
Good morning, Mrs. Lovely day, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. May I take that? How are you feeling this morning?
Fine, fine.
Good. Now, in a few minutes, you'll meet Dr. Brodsky and we'll begin your treatment. You're a very lucky boy to have been chosen.
I realize that, Mrs., and I'm very grateful to all concerned.
We're going to be friends then, aren't we, Alex?
I hope so, Mrs. What's the IPO for, then? Gonna send me to sleep?
Oh, no, nothing of the sort.
Vitamins, will it be, then?
Something like that. You're a little undernourished, so after each meal, we're going to give you a shot. Roll over on your right side, please. Loosen your pajama pants and pull them halfway down.
What exactly is the treatment here going to be, then?
Oh, it's quite simple, really. We're just going to show you some films.
You mean like going to the pictures?
Something like that.
Well, that's good. I like to vidy the old films now and again.
And vidy films I would. Where I was taken to, brothers, was like no cine I ever vidied before. I was bound up in a straitjacket, and MacGulliver was strapped to a headrest with, like, wires running away from it. Then they clamped, like, lidlocks on my eyes so that I could not shut them, no matter how hard I tried. It seemed a bit crazy to me, but I let them get on with what they wanted to get on with. If I was to be a free young Malchick again in a fortnight's time, I would put up with much in the meantime, oh, my brothers. So far, the first film was a very good professional piece of cine, like it was done in Hollywood. The sounds were real horror show. You could slushy the screams and moans, very realistic. And you could even get the heavy breathing and panting of the tall-chopping Malchicks at the same time. And then what do you know? Soon our dear old friend, the red vino on tap, the same in all places like it's put out by the same big firm, began to flow. It was beautiful. It's funny how the colours of the real world only seem really real when you video them on a screen.
Time to eat.
action. Time to eat bugs.
Eat the bugs.
Mandatory chemical castration. In the name of love.
Name of love.
Soon you'll get the hang of the new rules. Time to eat the bugs.
Eat the bugs.
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 Time to eat the bugs.
This is it, the real Jocktober episode of 2019. Feels a little early to me, but that will give it some time to breathe your last dying breath. Welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast, episode 224. The last one before Halloween. If this is your first time joining us for this ancient pagan holiday, and you're wondering how this week will be any different than any other regular non-denominational episode, it has to do with blackface. It's the one day out of the year that I don't wear it. Other than that, some horror games, some stories that don't go anywhere. I'll probably run out of steam about 20 minutes in. Basically the same, but with a big steaming, heaping helping of spook juice drizzled all over it. And yes, I mean, come. Go to www.gruntfreepress.com if you dare. Email podcast@gruntfreepress.com to be entered in this year's trivia contest, where you'll have a chance to win fantastic holiday themed prizes. Just also come. I'm absolute B aside. The B stands for boo. It's been a long week. I usually take off the last week of October to get all my dead ducks in a row. And I have a little extra time to prepare an extra special, haunting, ghoulish, dreadful show for you guys. But I couldn't do that this year because I got a new job I started, so I didn't have enough time off built up. So, here we are. In hell. And I'll be perfectly frank. I'm dressed up as a middle-aged, overweight man named Frank. I thought this year was going to be a letdown overall. Just because, you know, on the gaming front, I tried to stick to the big guns this year. You know, the heavy hitters, the more or less standard horror classics. And those range from like I don't think these games even classify as horror games, like fucking like Dead Space 2, which is pretty much just like an action game with some horror shit in there. This game is such an abomination. I don't even know if I like video games anymore, let alone horror video games. Like Condemned 2. Yeah, man, that game sucked. Some rancid shit. So I had quite a few other games lined up, and I'm just fucking not going to have really the time to get to for our strict Shocktober rules and deadlines. You know, my boss is a real ball buster about that, a real stickler, a real Henry stickler. But a little dead, decaying birdie once told me that there might be a horror game bleed through after this show, so stay tuned for that. I mean, we still have Necrotic November to look forward to, as well as Deadly December, and then Jewy January, Faggot February. You guys have calendars, you know what the holidays are. So I was kind of looking forward to October being over and done with, so I can play the new Call of Duty for hours on end, like the casual piece of shit that I am. I had reserved myself to playing these fucking mediocre to bad horror games for the month, and that was the case. If that was going to be like what was going to happen, I'm like, oh, cool, dude. All right, I play horror games all fucking year round. But this October, you know, as usual, just stick to it. And, if these are going to be bad, I mean, like fucking a lot of the games, just like, I'm just not feeling a lot of these. I'm like, well, if that's going to be how it's going to go this year, I mean, let's like really just eat some shit and just play like really bad fucking games. Let's roll the dice on, some random indie horror game on Steam that I've never heard of before, because that will surely be the final nail in the coffin. Like that'll really make me want to blow my brains out in public on Halloween night, like G.G. Allen used to say he was going to, but instead he overdosed on heroin, like a common run-of-the-mill me and every other person that I know. So I see this game pop up in the featured section on Steam. Like, one of the only fucking horror games that I've seen advertised all month on Steam. Which it was just kind of sad to think about, truthfully. I mean, Steam will fucking push dicks in your face all day, every day for like gay Pride Month or whatever, but really no fanfare for October. No fucking, hey, here's the Steam fucking Halloween hootenanny sale and all these horror games that are on sale and come check these out and, you know, all that shit. They don't really do that. There is this game on there called The Beast Inside, which is not a particularly good name. I guess I saw that and I'm like, oh, well, let me guess with this fucking game. Like the twist is going to be that you're a werewolf, and it's probably going to be like a shitty werewolf game. I'm like, all right, dude, like let's check this out. Like, this is going to be fucking bad. The font they use for the title is very similar to The Evil Within, which there are two of those games. I played both of them, and they're both not very good either. So I'm like, well, The Beast Inside, like, it reminds me of just like looking at it. I'm like, The Beast Inside, The Evil Within. I have to do like a double take every time I say or write it to not call it The Beast Within, which was actually the subtitle to one of the super cheesy live action FMV Gabriel Knight games. So also, I'm looking at the screenshots and videos on the store page for this game, and it just looks like the most generic, just, you know, you're going to be walking around the old house with a fucking, you know, lantern, and you're collecting notes type of games, and fucking like running and hiding in closets. And I'm like, all right, here we go. This is a fucking just going to be a bad fucking, you know, indie Steam fucking horror game. Like, this, that's what I'm prepared for. Again, drive this fucking month into the ground. Holy shit. It was a goddamn bona fide Halloween Christmas miracle, because The Beast Inside is good. It's really good, as a matter of fact. I don't want to like oversell it or anything. Like it doesn't like reinvent the wheel or anything. It's not like, oh, holy shit, this is like a new fucking reinvents the genre. Nothing like that. You know, it borrows a lot of gameplay concepts from other horror games you probably already played. But yeah, there's the Beast Inside is fucking really, really fucking good. Like I liked it a lot. The opening shot is just like a first person view of somebody hacking a guy's head off and stabbing a knife through his eye, and while a woman who's tied up in a chair is like screaming and pleading for her life. Naturally, I see that my dick gets hard. The graphics in the game are great. I mean, the voice acting, the sound effects, all really good. Right off the bat, even though, you know, it's just a cutscene at the beginning, it's like you can tell right away. It's like, oh, this isn't some cheap, like quickly thrown together, like bullshit game like I was expecting. It's like somebody at least gave like half a shit about this. Like they're fucking like, you know, the opening is like, it's pretty well paced. It's fucking, it's like, oh, that was a good fucking, like, you know, gets you like interested right off the bat of fucking like, holy shit, like there's gonna be something going on here. It's not just fucking like not gonna be a shitty fucking whatever, dude, asset fucking flipping like shitty game, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, this is something like cool, you know. So after that, it cuts to this couple driving on a road in the woods in New Hampshire, and they're talking about this new house that they're moving into, and you know, talking about the broad's pregnant. You pull up in the driveway to the house, and then you're in control of the game. You're controlling the main character, Adam, and everything is entirely first person. And this is one of those games where you can like pick up almost any loose object that you can see in the house or in the world. And you can like, you know, as you're holding it, you can like twirl it around and, you know, examine it and throw it. Then if you want to open doors, you have to like click on it with the mouse and physically like move the mouse towards you to open the door, which can be kind of awkward at times doing shit like that, where everything's just kind of like, you know, you're grabbing and pulling and picking shit up, and like that's kind of, can be kind of weird, but it's also really funny. like you can just fucking just pick shit up and start throwing things around the house like a fucking asshole. It's like every time I came across like a cross, you know, like a religious cross or like any kind of like religious symbol, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna like role play this guy is an asshole. Like I'm like, all right, I'm probably just gonna pretend this guy's a werewolf anyway. Like this is his fucking like whatever, you know, Mr. Hyde side or whatever. And he's fucking, any religious symbol he sees, he has to open all the windows and just throw all the shit like out the window onto the fucking front lawn, which is kind of funny, you know, role playing as a werewolf because that's what they do. Yeah, so the first task that the game gives you is you just have to take some boxes, you know, that they're moving, you know, the moving boxes from the car, and just walk them inside the house. And, you know, if the game, like, straight up opened like that without the, you know, the opening, like, cutscene, the decapitation and all that, it was just like, all right, well, this couple, like, fucking just, you know, in the car at the beginning and you're doing the shit. I was kind of getting the vibe that, it's like, oh, this is going to be like this slow family drama about this couple finding out that they're, you know, the house they just bought is haunted. And I'm like, all right, what, like the cabinets are going to start opening up on their own, and there's going to be books flying off the shelf, and the walls are going to start bleeding, like that sort of thing. And I actually say that to the credit of the game, like to the Beast Inside's credit. Because it seemed like it seems like they're putting quite a bit of emphasis on these characters, you know, like their performances are pretty good. The house you're in's super detailed. I was still figuring like the vast majority of the game is going to take place in this house, and you know, maybe there'll be like a small area around it you can walk around and whatever. But I'm like, God, it's just going to be like this small scale thing with this fucking like family. Like it's just gradually going to get more and more haunted or something like that. I'm like, okay, dude, whatever. At least it looks good and the performances are good and shit. But then again, it's like, oh, well, that opening, dude, is like something fucked up. Like more fucked up's going on. So you bring the boxes up to the attic. And you find an old journal from somebody who lived in the house before, who's the guy you're controlling, Adam's family member, who was alive like the late 1800s or something. yeah, his name is like Nicholas. So you start reading the journal, and then you're flashing back to then, like the 1800s, like his time. You're controlling Nicholas, and you're like exploring the same house in the dark in that time period. But you know, that's when you have like the kerosene lantern and like some matches to, you know, light your way. You're lighting candles and shit. Then yeah, for the rest of the Beast Inside, you're taking turns, like you're swapping with the two characters, you're alternating between them each chapter. So I mean, it's a bit like Eternal Darkness, but it's told much better. I think I even said, like, when I was talking about Eternal Darkness, we're like, this is kind of cool, as wish there were less characters, you know what I mean, and they could just fucking take time, like, you know, fleshing out each one. So it's kind of what they did here. It's like, now there's only two characters that you're controlling, so you get like more time with them and shit. It's barely survival horror in the traditional sense. Like, there's like the only resources you're worrying about are the kerosene and the matches, and there's fucking like just tons of those lying around. You don't need to worry about that. You know, it's almost like a modern horror game, you know what I mean? It's not like some like archaic, like, oh, we're trying to fucking make it difficult or whatever. It's like, no, it's just more like fucking what you would expect from playing like a modern horror game. You know, there's chase sequences you're doing where you're running from fucking monsters, a little bit of platforming. That there are some jump scares, but it's paced very well. I mean, most of the time when you're controlling Adam, his levels take place in broad daylight, where you're exploring pretty far out into the woods, and a lot of that's fucking beautiful. Like, the wilderness and shit is great. Some of the best looking woods I've ever seen in a video game. It's just fucking like, this looks fucking phenomenal. So as you're doing that, like, you know, different objectives, like, oh, go find like some barn somewhere, and, you know, fucking, you know, go check that out. So you're just kind of going down paths in the woods and shit. It's like, dude, this is fucking gorgeous. Like, this looks fucking great. But yeah, but like those moments that those let you like take a breath, you know, and just establishes like, all right, well, this is like the normal, how this place is normally when it's not all fucked up and like, you know, you're running through fucking shit in the dark and, you know, blood everywhere and shit. It's like, oh, this is like, just like the normal fucking woods and shit. Yeah, not that even that those those like levels are boring. I mean, it's just they throw in like a twist where Adam's a Cold War cryptanalyst, whatever, you know, he does like cryptograms, like trying to fucking decode shit, like whatever the fucking wind talkers in World War II, only he's like in the Cold War. So it's almost like this spy thriller where he's starting to get paranoid that people are watching him. Then it turns out somebody really is watching him. It's this man in a suit shows up who like bugged his house, and you know, you start seeing him, you try to like chase him down, and you end up going through like, you know, these mines and caves, and you find like these little hideouts he has with fucking like all this, you know, surveillance shit, and you know, through abandoned buildings and shit. So then, and even like that, like the play space you're in, like that ends up like way bigger in scope than I thought it was going to be. I mean, like the act with just the house, like that's just like a small part of it. It's like, oh, there's a bunch of shit you're going through, like different levels or like different complete levels, like very different shit you're doing. You know, somebody ends up breaking into the house, and his wife calls the sheriff, but you know, Adam's like not sure if he can even trust the sheriff in the town, and you know, he might be like a commie in disguise, and he starts to think that, you know, even his wife might be like a Russian spy. He's been playing him for years, like just fucking like she's undercover fucking, you know, just fucking for the past like 10 years or something, like she's been fucking, you know, trying to get to him just to for his job, you know. It's fucking you know, then you start thinking like, oh, well, the Beast Inside, maybe it's not might not be the twist, might not be that he's a werewolf, like maybe the Beast Inside is his wife and like all that shit, and you can take it like other ways, and like, you know, you're not really sure what's going on. It gets kind of heady, you know, he starts going a little bit crazy, and every time he reads a journal entry, you know, then you go when you play as Nicholas and shit, and then like it'll flash forward to Adam, and he'll be like blacked out, and he'll wake up in strange places. Like he'll be start the level, he'll be like in the bottom of a well somewhere trying to get out. Or, you know, you'll wake up in a fucking car that just crashed into a lake or whatever, and you're trying to, like, escape it before you drown. And, you know, he doesn't know if he's being drugged or what. Or he's going fucking, like, nuts and just having, like, these like, episodes where he's blacking out. Then as you're playing Nicholas, it's much darker and more aggressive. You know, when you're in the 1800s, you're exploring, like, these, you know, hotels and mines and... like a swamp where there's these giant dune worms in the water, and you have to like play Tremors with them, and you're jumping from like one rock to another and staying in safe spots or throwing rocks in the water to have them chase it so they get distracted long enough for you to get out and run to the next spot. So it's more what you would expect from like a traditional horror game, like, you know, including a couple instances where they want you to like sneak past something like a zombie thing, or like you know, you're in like this witch's house and they want you to first you're like running from her, and then it's like, okay, now you like hit a doorway that's locked and you need a key, but the key's on her, so you have to kind of like sneak up behind her and like play like stealth like that. Those are kind of a pain in the ass just because, you know, it's just fucking stealth sections in a game that's not really built for stealth. You know, it seems kind of random whether you get spotted or not. But other than that, like everything's really fucking well done. It's even the stealth sections aren't really fucking, you know, it's not like they're these long fucking drawn out things. It's usually like a 10-minute just fucking like, oh, I just got to like sneak past this guy and whatever. Dude, like that's it. Or again, just fucking just one little thing. You got to sneak up and try to get the keys from the witch. Not like those aren't great, but it's fucking like, all right, well, it's okay. Like I can deal with that. They don't like overuse it. So, yeah, I mean, the beast inside saved Halloween. I have no idea who made it, like what studio made it. It was a Kickstarter game, apparently. I'd never heard about that campaign. I don't really know what else the studio has made in the past, but I know they have some, there is one from them in early access now called Chernobylite. And that game actually looks fucking pretty sick too. It looks good. It's like a Metro 2033, stalker type survival game, but with more horror, elements to it. And I'd like to play it right now, but you know, it's fucking early access and, you know, I don't want to fucking deal with that. The Beast Inside was good because it fucking, you know, it was just because it inspired me to write a review about it, which you can actually go read at gruntfreepress.com, and that might save your Halloween or maybe your life or even your soul. So yeah, that website there is a real House of Horrors, a real House of the Dead 3 for original Xbox. So yeah, House of the Dead was originally like an arcade light gun game, which had multiple sequels over the fucking years and like spin-offs and shit and yada yada yada. So here we are with this Xbox game, which is compatible with a light gun peripheral, which I wasn't even aware there was a fucking light gun for the Xbox. Like, I've never fucking seen one. Like, you know, I have no idea what the fuck that is, but you are supposed to use it for this fucking game. So, I mean, I'm playing this on-rails shooter with a standard controller, which is not the ideal way to do it, for sure. You're just fucking moving a cursor around the screen, you know, with a fucking analog stick and pulling the trigger. And that's pretty much the game. Not much else to it, and I found it to be a little unfairly, I would say, brutally difficult, like trying to play it like that, just because, yeah, you just don't have the speed and the precision that you would, you know, if you had, like, the fucking gun or whatever, and you could fucking flick your wrists and, like, aim immediately, pretty much, so, you know, you're using a fucking stick trying to do that. You can memorize more or less like where you should put the cursor in advance to, you know, get like that's the way you would get quote unquote better at it, I guess, but just fucking like memorize and go, okay, you guys probably going to pop out on the right. I'll move the cursor to the right side of the screen here and shit like that. But yeah, I mean, the House of the Dead games, they're fucking arcade games. I mean, you should be really, you should be playing them by just plunking quarters in and playing them for like 20 minutes. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And then fucking like moving on with your life. Or death. Ooh. They did what they could to make House of the Dead 3 like work as a console game. They give you difficulty settings and, you know, you can, you know, tone down. I don't even know what the fuck. Toning the difficulty down actually does. Fucking less enemies or whatever. But, you know, then you give yourself more lives and continues. And tried doing it just on like the normal difficulty at first. I'm like fucking like, all right, yeah, I seem like I'm doing all right. And then after I played it a few times, I'm like, well, I guess I'll fucking lower it down a little bit. And then like by the end, I just had lowered all the way down to like easy and give myself as many fucking lives and continues as I possibly can to try to get through it. I mean, I think like the first half of the game is I found it really easy. But then you'll hit like a couple bosses where the scariest thing about them is the fucking carpal tunnel that's building up in your hands, because you have to pull the fucking right trigger like 200 times a minute for like 5 minutes straight to try to kill him. Just like constantly, just fucking like, oh my god, dude, my hands are killing me. I'm just fucking like sitting there fucking pulling the trigger so many times. Yeah, I mean, I think House of the Dead, I mean, 3 in particular, I think it's a fun enough game to like throw in and just blast through. Yeah, just put on fucking easiest shit you can, just like blast through it and like give it like one or two tries. But it does get old pretty quickly. I mean, there's fucking, it's like, yeah, cool, you know, I'm shooting these zombies and there's this fucking King Kong size sloth bosses and shit, and you know, big gay mutant bikers, and you know, it's pretty gory as you're blowing their heads off and punching holes in them and shit. But you know, it's fucking shallow, you know, almost like it's a fucking arcade game or something, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, it's what it is. So with the Xbox version though, once you beat House of the Dead 3, you unlock House of the Dead 2, which that actually might be a better game. It seems like it has more enemy and location variety in there, but it does look a lot worse than it'd be. You know, it's fucking an older game. Like, I think 3 might've been made with like consoles and 9 or whatever. And it, you know, whatever, I don't know how long apart it was between 2 and 3, but 2 definitely looks fucking like dated, even though it's like, it's just like a straight arcade port. And It controls even like sloppier than 3, you know, it's like fucking like 3, you can, it's like, all right, it can do this with the controller and the analog stick, and like playing 2, it's like, this just feels like worse. Like, it's fucking like, they didn't really do it. It's almost like when I try running these games in MAME and I try to fucking just like tweak the controller settings to like, you know, as much as I can to at least make him playable, you know, it's fucking like, this isn't meant to be played with this, like with a controller, but I can just fucking set it up and just try to make it work, because that's pretty much exactly what it is. Just fucking like, oh, here's like an arcade port, and I don't know, dude, you can fucking use a controller, I guess. Like, I'm sure it'd be all right with a fucking like light gun, but you know, it's a fine little bloody nostalgic curiosity playing House of the Dead. But I mean, yeah, there's just not much substance there. I mean, they added like a few extra features and some challenges where you can do like these just like short sections of the game, and they'll give you like limited ammo, or it's like, all right, well, you gotta go through this one section with like one life or whatever. Or, like, there'll be a bunch of civilians and just, you know, try not to shoot the civilians, and then they give you like a grade at the end and a score, and you know, based on your performance. And it's like, okay, if you did good on this, then you unlock like some cheats and fucking like modifiers that you can use for, I think it's only for House of the Dead 2. It's like, all right, well, here, you know, you fucking went through this, and you can buy, I think, man, there's like a store or something. I only fucked with it for a little bit again, but it's fucking like a store. You can be like, all right, well, I'm gonna buy some extra lives for House of the Dead 2 or continue or whatever, or fucking whatever shit like that. So they tried to like flesh it out like that, but at the end of the day, I'm just like playing it like, oh, this would be okay if I had like a light gun, probably. It'd be something to fuck around with. But, you know, then I'm like, all right, well, I'm playing this light gun game with a controller. And okay, like I did it. I played it for a little bit and we'll just move on. So I would rot want to play with that, play that game for too long. I would rot want to play it. So yeah, there's this free like 15 minute game out called Rot, which is based on a web movie, which is also called Rot. That's an unofficial Silent Hill game. And the video too, it's based on, it's like an, you know, it's just built like as this unofficial, it's like, ah, it's like a Silent Hill short film, fan film or something, but you know, not really, you know, it's just, we just call it Rot and we're just doing like a Silent Hill thing. They basically take the themes of Silent Hill and condense it down as much as you could, where, you know, in the game, you wake up from a car crash and there's a woman who's crawling on the road. She's like screaming and dying and fucking like bloody and shit. Like, you know, you don't know if you like you hit her or, you know, fucking she just got hit by another car. It was like fucking like car accident. You know what the hell's going on? So you're looking at that, and then your cell phone rings, and someone on the other end says, like, do you remember, or something like that, and then it starts, like, looping, where you're just kind of, like, blacking out at the end of, like, a section, and fucking loops back, and you're waking up in the car, and it's like, oh, you know, the fucking woman's there, or she's not, and so on. It just keeps kind of, like, changing a little bit each time you go through. So it's kind of like PT, but it's good. There's a comprehensible story, or at least a fucking like comprehensible progression, like, you know, where they're fucking just revealing bits and pieces of what this guy's story is as you're playing. And you know, you wake up one time, there'll be like a gun in the passenger seat of the car. So it's like, okay, so, you know, it's possible he was like a hitman or something like that, and he got in a shootout and, you know, crashed the car into the woman probably, and like, all right, so now like that happened, and that's why he's in this like Silent Hill purgatory. It's like reliving like the last moments over and over again of his life. So yeah, each loop around, you're usually like, you'll get out of the car and like spooky shit happens. You know, it's like, oh, you know, now like the woman's not there at first, and then it's like, oh, well, you know, you're looking around for her, and then she'll start like crawling towards you out of the woods. Or it's like, you know, another time you'll get out when it looks like a fucking nuke goes off somewhere in the distance, and the forest starts like going nuts and shaking. The trees are like bending in the wind, and you know, it's just getting like darker. The sky is turning red and shit. You're getting cryptic messages on your radio, like the car radio, or on like your cell phone. And as I was playing this, I'm like, that'd be like a pretty cool idea if they had to fucking, if they ever do make a like a new good Silent Hill game, and if they want to like update everything, where it's like, well, instead of like carrying like a portable radio, we could do have something to do like, all right, like carrying around like a cell phone, and that acts as like the radio, like doing like static or whatever, like whatever, the, like some kind of like glitch or whatever for the cell phone whenever there's like an enemy around. Like, that'd be pretty cool. Maybe they could even do like a companion app thing with it, where you'd fucking, it's like, oh, you had to sign up, you know, use like an app or whatever, like Silent Hill app, and as you're playing, you get like alerts and like texts on your fucking like real life phone as you're playing, or like shit like that, you know. They've done that shit before, but it's, I'm like, ah, oh, it would be kind of cool to do with a fucking Silent Hill game. But you know, that's probably never going to happen. So instead, we have Rot, an unofficial game adaptation of an unofficial movie. And yeah, I mean, the game's actually not bad. I mean, it's a decent, like, mood piece. It's got some good atmosphere. I mean, I'd recommend checking it out if you can. I mean, it's fucking free, so why not? I actually watched the video that it was based on afterwards to check that out. And like, all right, well, I played the game. Well, let's see the movie then, you know, watch the fucking video. And yeah, I don't know. I thought like the video was okay. Like, I thought the game was better. Some of the acting in the video just isn't great, and you know, the quality of the special effects are kind of all over the place. You know, it's like some of the scenes seem really like fucking like out of place for anything. It's like, it's like, okay, well, they're going for like a Silent Hill thing, but this just seems Like it has nothing, like not like this wouldn't fit in a Silent Hill anything here. You know, like the guy fucking wakes up in the car one time. There's like a dude behind him. He sees in the rearview mirror and like full body armor. And he's fucking like just like walking towards him, shooting at him with a rifle. And that looks like something, it's like, this seems like an, like something out of like an action movie, like from Heat, you know, not fucking Silent Hill. And then some, then other shit, just like, oh, there's just two on the nose. It's fucking like, oh, here's Pyramid Head. Like, he pops up for a second and he fucking like kills somebody. And it's like, you know, I know that fucking Pyramid Head is like the iconic symbol of the fucking Silent Hill games, but, you know, he really only has a place in that one game, you know, only like the second one that he was in, you know, Silent Hill 2. And then, like, whenever they pop him in somewhere, like, outside of that, it's like fucking, nah, this seems like just, like, fan service-y bullshit. Like, that was, like, he was just kind of confined to that fucking one game. It's fucking, oh, people like him. It's like a fan thing. He's like a, you know, that's the fucking face of Silent Hill. Like, fucking, you know what I mean? So it's fucking, oh, throw him in there. It's like, nah, it's not, it wasn't just, like, some standard enemy or whatever. It's like fucking, like, no, he had, like, a whole thing with that game that made sense for James or whatever. Now it's fucking just don't throw him in anywhere. Silent Hill, here's Pyramid Head. It's like, nah, that's shitty. So yeah, play the game Rot. And you could watch the video too, I guess. I mean, that's also free, so why not? Why the fuck not? And it's only like 9 minutes long, but yeah, again, I wasn't as hard up on the video as other people seem to be. Like, as like fucking as I was looking it up, it's, you know, had a bunch of views and everyone's like, oh dude, this is great. And I'm like, oh cool, did I watch it? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it was okay. I like the game better. So yeah, that's it. That's Halloween for you.
Can you hear me? It's Dr. Morgan. Your delusions almost took the life from you this time.
My face, it's in bandages. Where am I? Who?
You must have thought you had somewhere important to go when you stole that car.
Oh, no.
You did a lot of damage to that face of yours in the crash.
I'm sorry. I can't believe.
No apologies. All we need is your best effort. And before you can give us that, you need some rest. Bruce, help our lad back to his room. Don't worry, son. We'll talk again soon.
All right, maybe I'm a little off tonight, and I need to be forcibly placed in a sanitarium. The old PC adventure game Sanitarium, that is, in which, not unlike this unknown, relatively unknown, I think obscure game called Silent Hill, Sanitarium starts with the protagonist getting into a car crash. He wakes up in a mental asylum that is on fire, and he's trying to, you know, alarm's going off, and he's trying to figure out what happened to him, why he's there, you know, what's real, what's in his head, why his face is all bandaged up. There's a very strong through line to a lot of these games, isn't there today? Or it's fucking like, oh, people are going crazy. They don't know what's real or not. Sanitarium uses a top-down overhead, I guess they call it a three-quarter view, three-quarter perspective, where it almost looks like Baldur's Gate or Fallout or, you know, the other fucking old-school computer role-playing games. But, it's an adventure game where most of what you're doing is walking around, you're talking to people, picking up, you know, different items and solving puzzles to fucking go to the next chapter or whatever. So the art in the game is fucking phenomenal. You know, the backgrounds are all hand-drawn, and they're just scanned. You know, you just tell us fucking somebody's drew them all and fucking they scanned them in, you know, scanned them into the fucking game. There's some full motion video cutscenes that didn't fucking age too badly either. It looks pretty fucking good. This is Sanitarium is a game that I played back in the day. And I love the way it looked back then. And I was worried oh no, is it going to suck now? Are you going to fucking play it? Is it going to pull a fucking Condemned Bloodshot on me? And it's just, I'm like, that's just going to look like a fucking mess now. But oh no, I was playing it on Steam. The Steam port's fucking solid. It's fucking great. They didn't remaster it or up-res it or anything like that. They just did a good job making it run on modern hardware, and just the fucking graphics in it just hold up, I guess. It fucking looks great. The gameplay in Sanitarium, on the other hand, it's a slow game. Adventure games by nature, usually slower paced, but moving your character around in Sanitarium, you have to click and hold the mouse around him, in the direction that you want him to move, and then he'll very slowly just kind of take his time and shamble over to where he's going. The levels aren't even that big, but they're detailed, and there's little fucking, some houses you can go in, some you can't. You gotta fucking check all the doors and that type of shit. There's a lot of NPCs that you're talking to, and then you'll talk to them, and it's like, okay, well, now you have to go talk to somebody else to keep the conversation going, and it's like, all right, now you have to walk slowly over to the other side of the screen, do that, talk to somebody else, and then it's like, all right, well, now he's telling me to go back and talk to the first NPC I just talked to. So, a lot of exploration, a lot of dialogue, but the exploration fucking it just takes forever. Just walking around, it's like, I wish I could just move faster than this, just to fucking speed it up a little bit here, Chief. you'll come to a puzzle, it's like, all right, I need something. I have to find something to unscrew this hose. I can't do it with my, the guy will say, what do you expect me to do with this with my bare hands? I can't unscrew this. So it's like, all right, then it's like, all right, you find a screwdriver across the map. It's like, okay, well, maybe I can use this screwdriver or this fucking crowbar or whatever to fucking get the hose off. So it's like, all right, walk back to where the hose is, and nope. It's like, okay, well, now I have a screwdriver for something. So it gets walking around trying the screwdriver on everything else and then in the level, and then fucking so on and so forth. And there's some good old pixel hunting bullshit So in the first level, after you get out of the asylum, is you're in this town that's been taken over by an alien plant monster that came down from like a meteor from the sky, like fucking, I don't know, like a Creepshow, whatever, like that Stephen King short film on fucking his segment on Creepshow, where he fucking turns into a plant or whatever. It's like the same type of thing. But in the town, all the adults are gone. You find out they're dead. Like the kids killed them and put them in like the schoolhouse or something, hit them in there, because the, plant thing like told them to. And, there's only mutated and deformed children that are left in the town. If they don't do what the plant says, they get sent into the pumpkin patch, this fucking locked pumpkin patch. There's like fucking all this legends around it where crows like peck out their eyes and shit. So it's a good Halloween theme there, at least. One of the things you have to do in that town, though, is you have to play hide and seek with this group of kids. Which it means like, all right, so you get there, you're talking to people, you're slowly walking around, figuring out like, all right, where can I go? What can I pick up? Where are these puzzles? What am I going to need to fucking like do this shit? And then you start talking to the kids like, all right, well, we're going to go play hide and seek. And they all just hide in the town. So then that means you have to double back to every corner of the fucking town map that you've already been to. And again, you're just walking like slowly, like, all right, dude, where the fuck are these kids? But to get one of the kids out of their hiding spot, they want you to ring this church bell. It's a big church, and so I'm like, all right, so I'm there, like, you know, I see where the bell is. I'm like hovering the mouse all around there, everywhere near the fucking bell. I'm looking for is there like a lever somewhere or like a rope I should be pulling? There's like a fucking flagpole outside the church. Like, do I climb the flagpole and like go up there? And do I need an item to climb the flagpole and get up there and like hit the bell or whatever? Like, I can't find anything. I'm like fucking like, I don't know, dude. It's looking around for a while again, just fucking something I missed, but I can't figure out what it is. I hated to do this, especially because I'm pretty sure that I beat Sanitarium originally back in the day again. But I'm pretty sure I did that with like no hints. I just fucking like, God, yeah, you know, I remember fucking liking the game and just going through and just, you know, working my way through everything. But I'm like fucking, all right, pretty much the first level. I'm like, I'm pretty stuck here, dude. Like, I don't want to just keep fucking walking around town. So I bring up a walkthrough, and the game wants you to throw a rock at the bell to ring it. All right, but it's like, you know, it's one of those deals where it's like one specific rock on the ground that you can pick up and put in your inventory, as opposed to like, you know, the 500 other fucking rocks around the town, or it's all fucking like rubble and stone everywhere you fucking look. But apparently those are immovable objects. It's fucking, it's like, oh, that one rock there, like that's the one that you need. So yeah, one of those fucking puzzles, dude, or it's fucking, I don't know, this kind of sucks. At that point, like figuring that out, I'm like, all right, dude, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to fucking deal with this right now. You know, it's like fucking, it's like, cool. I love the graphics, and like, I like the story, it's pretty interesting and everything else. But I just wasn't in the mood for this kind of like adventure gamey hogwash. I'm like, all right, well, if I can, I'm looking at the options too. It's like, if I can find an option to, like, I might have missed, like, is there like a, you know, a run button somewhere, or is there like a way to like, whatever, like in the RPGs, you can hit tab and it'll just like highlight all the objects you can interact with and all that shit. But I don't think there is. So yeah, I don't think that's the deal. Just the controls are really like, everything's like really basic. It's a simple game where you just, you know, you're only carrying a couple inventory items at a time. Yeah. The puzzles aren't like crazy, but just the fact of like the exploration, trying to find that shit is ridiculous. But yeah, I get to like, you know, the level or two after that. I'm like, all right, dude, that's kind of like, I get to like some circus. I'm like, this again, this seems cool. I like it looks fucking great, but I have fucking other games to play. You know what I mean? I can't be fucking like stuck on this shit. Just like walking around slowly talking to people for days and days. Like, I got to fucking, I don't feel like fucking having the walkthrough open the whole time either. It's not my, I got to keep going. I don't want to have to deal with that suffering for the Xbox Home Entertainment System. So yeah, the suffering was kind of a big deal. I remember when it came out, Stan Winston helped design all of the creatures in the game. So that was one of those like Hollywood ties that all the shitty gaming media would like latch onto and like write stories about, because, you know, most of the game critics are actually failed movie critics. So, you know, they fucking love that shit. So, The Suffering is about a guy on death row named Torque, who has these hallucinations about his wife and his kids, who he, like, you know, the game starts out and it's fucking, you know, everyone's kind of, like, talking about him behind it, like, whispering, like, oh, there's Torque, and blah, 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 like, he murdered his wife and kids, and, but it's like, oh, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Prison island that you're on, you know, it's like it's Abbott Island or something like that, which is almost like fucking like Alcatraz or something, where it's just like an island with a prison on it. So the island gets overrun with these monsters that fucking mirror different execution methods that were used. Like, you know, there's little hunchbacks that have hypodermic syringes coming out of their eyes, and they throw needles at you. You know, there's these big fucking guys with guns on their back that'll pop up from the ground. They're like tied to those wooden like firing squad posts, and they'll turn their back and fucking just start shooting you with the fucking guns on their back and shit. There are these gimps that walk around on blades. They have like blades on their, just like swords on their hands and their feet. I'm not even sure exactly what execution like that would be. Like, I don't know, like guillotines, maybe, like beheading by swords or something. Like, I have fucking no idea. But they kind of look like Voldo from Soul Calibur. I mean, the creature designs are really fucking awesome. I will say that. I was fucking like, oh, dude. I mean, again, being like, oh, dude, Stan Winston fucking made them. Like, that was the deal. But he did a good job. It's fucking, they look really cool. The game is almost like a straight shooter, like straightforward shooter. It's third person. They'll give you like tons of ammo for all your weapons. You know, pistols and Tommy guns and fucking shotguns, all that shit. You know, you just throw Molotovs and fucking grenades and shit. You can dive roll to the sides, trying to like, you know, avoid enemies. Do like a fucking action fucking dive combat roll to like the left and the right. So it's just like a straight, just like shooting shit. Definitely not like a survival horror type thing. It's not fucking, it's just like a shooter that just has these fucking monsters in it. Like, that's pretty much the game. Which is, I think, like partially why I didn't really care for it back then. Again, back in the day when it came out, I remember like playing it and be like, I don't know about this game. Like, it's okay. But, just because of leading up to it, again, it was like this whole fucking thing of like, oh, dude, Stan Winston, the guy who fucking did the monster effects for the thing and blah, 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 like all this shit. And then, you know, they're just hyping it up. I was like, oh, dude, it's like this creepy, like, prison game, and it's the psychological, blah, blah, blah. And then you play it, and it's fucking like, okay, well, this guy, Torque, he's just like a, you know, action hero. You know, he's just fucking mowing everything down. Just fucking, like, hundreds of monsters, just fucking, like, murdering them. It's fairly easy, too. It's just, like, circle strafing and shooting. But now, like now I fucking replayed it, and it's like, it does still look and play really well. I mean, just because they weren't really going for a realistic tone for it, like a realistic look, like all of the creatures and the people, they made them stylized, the kind of cartoony. But again, at the time, I'm like, well, this doesn't really look as good as fucking like some other game trying to make shit look real. It doesn't, look as good as like Silent Hill 2 or something, or, you know, whatever. But that shit there, when they like stylize it, it definitely does age a hell of a lot better than like trying to be like this bleeding edge, like photorealistic game, trying to make that make it look as good as possible for the time. And then like, you know, 5 years later you play, it's like, this doesn't look as good as the next game. So it just kind of looks like ass. And then 10 years later, it's fucking, you know, it's fucking like, oh, it looks, this cartoony game still looks pretty good. Like that's what happens. And because the shooting is so simple, it's just like, still fun. Like, it's still like fun. It's like, yeah, it's just a shooter, but shooting's fine. Like, it's still, it's just, you know, it's shooting these monsters that look cool. There's nothing wrong with this, dude. It's fucking pretty cool. You know, there's no real gimmicks to it. Just fucking aim and shoot. And the levels are really linear, and it's usually clear where they want you to go, even though it could be like, they could have made it super like complicated. This fucking like prison where you're, you know, getting all these items to fucking unlock doors and keys and all that shit. It's just fucking like that. You just kind of go forward, you clear out a room of fucking monsters, and then the door will unlock, or you find a lever and you fucking pull it, and there's nothing like too crazy. It's just fucking, just, you know, move forward pretty much and just keep going. You know, you're not searching for fucking one specific rock on the ground. You have to throw out a bell or anything. You know, it's just fucking, just keep fucking going, just keep shooting, and the game will keep moving you forward. So yeah, it's cool because when you start to get like sick, it's, you know, yeah, it's the first, whatever, first section of it, it's fucking like, okay, I'm in this prison. Prison's looks pretty cool and, you know, creepy or whatever. You're looking at all like these cell blocks and corridors that just kind of look similar, and it's like, yeah, I'm getting kind of sick. If like, the whole game is going to be like in this prison, it's going to get kind of old. And then the like movie outside, so you have more of the island to explore. You're like out in the woods, like, you know, you're in like a quarry, or, you know, there's one level that's just like, you know, like a haunt. It's like, oh, it's a mansion on the fucking island. It's just like a big haunted house type thing. So they mix it up enough that you don't get fucking like bored of the shit. You know what I mean? It's fucking like, all right, this is like a one note kind of thing again, where it's even like simple. It's like, this isn't gonna, I'm not gonna want to do this for hours on end, but. So they keep like mixing shit up with the scenery. It's like, okay, cool, I'm seeing something different. So yeah, the one big complaint that I have is that they reuse the same creatures a little bit too much. I mean, yeah, they look cool, but it's like, you're seeing the same. Like the first couple hours of the game, all you're fighting are those fucking, you know, gimpy Voldo guys. And then it's like, all right, well, then like, oh, here's like these fucking like needle babies that throw fucking needles at you. And it's like, okay, then you keep going for the next hour. You're just like shooting hundreds and hundreds of them. Then it's like, okay, well, now they add like one more type later on. It's like, okay, well, here's these gunners or whatever that has the guns on their back. And then it'll be like an hour before you see something new as far as like the monsters go and shit. Where it's like, God, these are cool, but I'm seeing like an awful lot of them. Like these fucking keep shooting the same fucking enemies over and over again. So yeah, I wish they either made them tougher to fight, like, you know, they made them so they're, you know, more of a threat when you were fighting them, you know what I mean, and then they could just use them less, you know what I mean, so it would be more of a challenge to fight one individual one. They're almost mini bosses or whatever, or you just, if they're gonna do what they're doing, just throw hundreds and hundreds of fucking enemies at you. There's a little more variety, like a few more types of enemies would have been good. So I mean, the suffering is even that, it's not even that long. It's maybe 8 hours I played through it on normal. But yeah, it was a good time playing through it. It just does get a little bit repetitive after like, you know, 6 hours. You know, it's like, yeah, this could have been cut a little bit. It could have been cut here to make it just tighter. The last enemy type that they introduce are these witch girls who combust in flame, and then they dance around you. You know, and they leave fire trails behind them that, you know, they just kind of like box you in if you try to get around them, and you'll run into the fire, which fucking burns you and shit. And then even after you kill them, you have to shoot the piles of ashes that they leave behind. After they die, or they'll come back. So, yeah, it's just kind of like fucking, well, me, they have to face, like, keep fighting them over and over again. I'm sitting here just, like, shooting into a pile of ashes. You know what I mean? It's fucking a little unnecessary as far as just doing the same shit. They have bosses in there, too, which are okay. I mean, the boss fights are, like, puzzly, more like puzzles than actual, like, bullet sponge fights. You have to, like, you know, shoot certain switches when you can, or pull certain switches when you can, or whatever, you know, pulling fucking boxes, like some like gas chamber guy, you have to like fucking move these fucking boxes into these vents, so he can't fucking like move through the vents and shit, and then you end up putting him in a furnace or some shit, like pulling a lever to fucking shoot steam out to blow him into a furnace, like shit like that. you know, your standard shit like that, facing gas chamber enemies. The last boss of the game kind of sucks, though. It's just this big version of the monster that Torque can transform into. Because he can transform into a monster, by the way, in the game. If you kill enough shit, there's this meter that will fill up, and then once it's full, you press a button, and he turns into a werewolf or something like, I don't know, some fucking, like, monster. I'll say a werewolf. But it's kind of useless. But all he can do in that form is melee attack. You just start swinging your fucking arms around. There's, like, some alternative thing. If you hold the left trigger while you attack, you just, like, a slide or something like that, or you just, you know, rip fucking, like, the enemies apart, but it's all melee. Like, he doesn't have any kind of projectile weapon, which is, that's just, like, not as effective as it's not as easy or effective as it would be just, like, shooting the shit out of every shit in the, you know, shooting the shit out of these enemies in the face. Like, he can just do that and strafe around them and, you know, not get hit at all. Or it's like, oh, I can transform into this fucking thing and run in there and inevitably get hit a couple times and fucking, like, what's the point of that? And fucking, like, lose health when I really don't have to. It looks cool. It's like, I wish I could do it more, but it's just fucking not effective. You still take the same amount of damage that you would if you're in, like, human form. And, it's not like the monster form has, like, its own health where, like, you can use it until, like, his health drops, and he'll transform back into Torque and pick up from there. It's like, no, if you fucking just get hit enough, you're just going to die as the fucking monster and it'll be game over. not very strategically advantageous. The transformation looks cool. The fucking creature looks cool. It's just useless to use, which kind of sucks. So for the last boss, you're on a pier, and the boss keeps going under the water and just popping up and attacking you from different sides. And, you can, like, I'm sitting there, like, shooting it. I'm like, I don't know if this is, like, hurting it. And there's like a crane. It's like, all right, so there's some crane up there. It's like the crane probably has something to do with it, and hit the lever on the crane. It drops this, whatever, like, Frankenstein ball type thing, and you fucking lightning thing, press a button, and it Torque, like, absorbs some, like, lightning or whatever, and he starts, like, throwing fireballs. Okay. And it's like, okay, that's how you beat this boss, I guess. You throw fucking fireballs at him. It's just fucking, yeah, kind of out of place the rest of the game. It just feels like a weird fucking way to end this. The story's not that strong in the suffering. It's okay. It's just very, very simple. As you're playing, you're getting these flashes of Torque's wife and his kids, you know, like, hallucinations. You'll see him in, like, jail cells. They'll be walking across a beach or whatever. And, you know, his wife and kids will be saying, well, it was like, oh, you know, we forgive you, or blah, blah, blah. Or they either say they forgive him, or they're calling him a piece of shit for what he did. And, yeah, you're still trying to figure out, like, if he actually killed them or not through, it's not, it doesn't really progress, right? It's just, like, those flashes, like, all you're really getting in terms of story. You pick up some notes and letters and shit, which are just, like, you know, a paragraph or two, just some random shit. It's not like there's not much to it. It's just fucking, like, okay, did this guy kill his wife or he didn't? And, like, there's these flashes going on. Then at the end of the game, it turns out that they killed themselves because their father was in prison. So the game's really a parable about black absentee fathers and spooky ghosts and monsters. I think there's, like, three different endings, too, you could get. So it's like fucking, it's like all there really is to the story is the ending, and it's fucking like, yeah, there's no real definitive ending, so I don't know, just fucking just kind of play it and, like, see those flashes that are kind of spooky, and then whatever ending you get, and that's it. And then when you finish the game, too, when you finish, at the end of the suffering, it's, you get some message that says, like, oh, you unlocked a prelude chapter to the game. And I saw that, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe, like, this extra chapter will kind of flesh out some of the story or whatever. Like, maybe it'll fucking just, you know, just do more exposition. Like, maybe the exposition will be at the beginning, but it doesn't. all it is, it just fucking shows Torque as he's arriving to the island, fucking Abbott Penitentiary. He was fucking like, all right, he's on a ship going in. And he's like caged up before he goes in on, like, the pier or whatever. there's some inmates like picking a fight with them, and yeah, you just fucking like transform into the monster and just like slaughter them, and then like the normal game style. I don't think there's anything else beyond that. So I mean, that's fine, like whatever. It could, it's just like fucking like, oh cool, so some like unlockable thing. It's like that really. It was like that could have just been in the game to begin with. Like it's not really revealing anything that would have like spoiled anything or. You know, it's not like you find out within 20 minutes they fucking like make you transform into that monster to like go on to the next level. So it's not even like a big deal as far as like the pacing goes. Like, yeah, they could have just fucking thrown that in there. Or not. It's just like a weird thing to have a bonus of like fucking like, oh dude, you beat the game, you saw like whatever ending you got. Now here's the prelude, which is fucking like nothing to do with anything really. Actually, what I thought was cooler than the fucking game's secret, super secret fucking beginning, so there's some bonus features on the disc too, and there's this TV episode on there that's just about haunted prisons, which I'm not even sure if they made it like specifically for the suffering or not, but it's like, you know, it's just one of these like haunted location shows that were constantly on and like around this time, like the early 2000s or whatever. It's, you know, Ghost Hunters and all that shit, and it's fucking all this fucking constantly on fucking whatever Sci-Fi Channel and the History Channel and like whatever, do Travel Channel, like all these fucking haunted and fucking spooky places around the globe. So yeah, it was just fucking, you know, I barely fucking watch TV, like real TV anymore to begin with, but it's fucking like, oh cool, I kind of remember these shows back from back then, and it's like seeing this like random fucking one that's just in on the disc of the suffering, if that's like the only place you can see it. It's fucking, you know, it's just produced the same way, the same format that fucking like all the shows used to have, where it's, you know, it seems like the same fucking narrator, you know, that fucking narrated all of them. You know, these fucking sit down bullshit interviews with people who work there, you know, worked at this prison, or them telling stories about like seeing like shadows moving in and out of the cells, and all, you know, I was fucking doing my rounds, I heard fucking voices, and I, you know, I went to see it and they were gone, and you know, now they've, you know, and of course now it's like, oh, this haunted prison or whatever. I forget which prison it was. It's fucking like, oh, it got shut down in like whatever year. Oh, they've been doing like ghost tours ever since. You know, of course they have. It's not like they're trying to sell their ghost tours or whatever. I was like, oh, we're taking a tour, and like, you know, one fucking tourist, he got grabbed by something and, you know, thrown into the showers and raped by dark people, and they swear it was by ghosts or whatever, you know what I mean? It's fucking shit like that. So there is a sequel. So I like the suffering. I like playing through it. And then I'm like, all right, isn't there like a sequel I was seeing to it? Yeah, the sequel is called The Suffering Ties That Bind. I think I played it back then too, but I don't remember particularly liking it. I wasn't like, all right, maybe I'll order the second one too. I'll play them like back to back or something. And I'm like, I don't want to be bloodshotted twice in one year, so maybe we'll hold off on that one till next year or something, you know what I mean? Just give it some time. I was actually looking at, I'm like, was that one, I thought it was, maybe it was just like shit on, like even like fucking like critics and shit were like, no, this game sucks. And I think like the main complaint was just like, oh, it's just kind of more of the same shit. Like they use this, even the same monsters from the first game are just like reused over and over. You know, like I was saying, from even just playing this one, where it's, I wish there was more variety in the shit. And like the main like criticism of the second one is just fucking, they just keep using them. Like they reuse the fucking shit, the monsters from the first game, and just keep showing up. Like, okay, well maybe I'll let that sit for a while. I won't play that right away, but I'll check it out eventually, because the first one was really good. And that, my boils and ghouls, is going to conclude this year's ghastly, grunt-free Rocktober hoedown. I mean, no more horror games for an entire year after this, and, you know, back to my usual Minecraft and Fortnite discussions every week. I've heard that if you close your eyes and you pray to the Great Pumpkin as hard and as loud as you can, maybe, just maybe, you might have noticed there was something missing in this episode. But Maybe there'll be a little Silent Hill related thing in the near future, because maybe, just maybe, I had to cancel my credit card today because Netflix is such a desperate, shitty company that they tried to fucking resub me automatically and thought it would slip through the cracks. So, I had to fucking cancel my card and shit. I probably can't buy fucking Modern Warfare until I get a new card in the mail fucking later in the week. So, credit card fraud. Ooh. And there actually is still a few days left until Halloween, so don't shit your sexy Latina-made costumes just yet. Go to www.gruntfreepress.com to, you know, lap my chocolatey fingers and hope that that's chocolate. podcast@gruntfreepress.com, and make sure to email that so we can all make sure that you get back from trick-or-treating safe and sound. I'm Absolute Deicide, and yes, I tricked you. I have been a werewolf this entire time.
We'll be right back. According to various paranormal researchers, there are several areas in the Eastern State Penitentiary that appear to magnify the spirit energy trapped within its walls.
Guards and visitors over the years reported hearing disembodied voices and screams and wails and cries that just seemed to emanate from the deepest bowels of the prison, where no person could actually get to.
Ghostly encounters are not limited to the prison building alone. The ghost of a prison guard has been observed numerous times in one of the prison's guard towers. What did the guard witness in the courtyard that tethers his spirit to the prison even in death? No one knows for sure.
One of the towers, a guard is seen to keep watch on an empty prison. Why a prison guard would want to be there after they've passed on to the other side, I don't know. But who knows the horrors that this particular guard has seen during his time at the prison. And he's still said to keep watch from his guard tower, watch the inner courtyard of the prison.
Probably one of the eeriest stories told about the old deteriorating landmark centers around the terrifying experience of a locksmith who was called in to work on several locks inside the prison.
When the prison became a historical location, they started doing ghost tours right before Halloween. And a locksmith was called in to work on a couple of the older locks just to facilitate the tour. As the gentleman was working on the locks, he looked down the hall and he saw a person standing there watching him. He had that feeling that somebody or something was watching him. And as he looked at this figure, he noticed that it started to kind of fade. It was solid, as you or I, and then it would just kind of turn into like a smoke or just a kind of an outline of a person. And as he watched, he noticed that this smoke started to move down the hall towards him. And he sat there in kind of a stunned silence watching this smoke just kind of creep down the hall. And right before it reached him, it shot up into the ceiling. The locksmith looked up, kind of expecting probably to see an apparition or what have you, or at least to see where the smoke had gone. And instead, he saw numerous glowing cat eyes that were looking down at him, blinking. And in a maniacal voice, he heard the words, "We're watching you."